The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's my little buddy Kelly Bidlin, everybody. We never mentioned our Twitter handles. At Kelly by the Lawn for Kelly, KellyByDlon.
Nailed it.
I'm at Beating the Book, of course, where we appreciate all the tweets. By the way, this hour, Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke with all his bets. Matt Brown in studio, host of Ready, Set, Bet, along with Mike Somich here in studio talking Super Bowl 59 with us. Let me guess, he's on with Stormy afterwards? Is that why he's in studio? Is that happening?
No, he just came in for us? Just came for us, yeah.
Wow. Very exciting.
I probably should have double-checked the schedule before I so confidently said that, but yeah.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Jim Wilcox, no UConn as a possible 25 natty? Jim, I didn't get a chance to ask Jim Root about UConn, but last week when Matty Cox was on from Three Man Weave, I did ask him about UConn, and he was not buying a three-peat for UConn. I'm not going to say it. Shrek McPhee trying to get me on another one. Shrek McPhee almost had me. Tennis play, sir? Anything indoor? No, you know what? The only tennis play we had was overnight. It was outdoors, thank God, in Abu Dhabi, and we won on Marketa Vondrousova, your girl.
Yeah.
As a slight dog over Yulia Putintseva. And Marketa Vondrousova, a couple things. One is a handicap, I think I want to say, but the other thing I want to say is, again, just to stress, the worst tattoos you'll ever see on any human being ever.
I just, you know, I'm not a big tattoo person, but if I was going to get one, Gil, I probably wouldn't have a toddler do it. You know, it's whatever it they is. Have in their sketchbook.
I don't know what she's going for, but it is like a toddler was doodling.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's what they all look like.
That's right. the other thing I just want to say, though, but he mentions anything indoor because the indoor tournament's going on in Transylvania Open right now.
I can't say Transylvania Open and me not like kind of laugh. I don't know.
This is the thing, and I sort of mentioned it. Like, so the last couple of days, both picks were losers, and they were both indoors. When I am doing my tennis and it's indoor tournaments, I'm inputting indoor hardcore data, and that data is not as robust, right? And it kind of, I don't know if it's polluting it. I don't know if it's just not as, you know, reflective of future results. But it ain't as good as outdoor hards. And as soon as we get right back on the outdoors, we get ourselves a winner. So outdoor hards is definitely our thing.
That is odd. Like, that's going to drive amazing. You. It's going to drive you nuts.
It drives me nuts because it's a constant, and this is just a handicapping thing for everybody, but it's a constant struggle between the humility of your numbers, where you don't have an edge, where you do have an edge, and that's one thing to say it in theory, but then to actually follow through with that in practice is the difficulty, right? Because you your brain doesn't necessarily say, okay, that's it. I'm just not going to bet any more indoor, which I probably should. I'm just going to roll with the outdoor hards until we get to clay. I'm going to bet clay because those go well too. Because you are tempted, because you do. I still run the numbers, and I'm looking at the. I'm like, well, this seems to be so much value on this particular person, but based on the results, no, on the indoor.
Yeah, I mean, and it's. I mean, your handicapping process, it changes surface to surface, right? But I'm assuming your outdoor hard court is the same for indoor hard court, and it's just like you got to be sitting there thinking, why is a roof affecting me this much?
Shrek McPhee, nice job though, nice try. Almost got me.
What, did he change it up or something?
Brian M., yeah. He realized that was on to the first one. Now he's trying to change it up. B. Morianen, after recent insight from Joe Fortenbaugh, I'm thinking Kelly may now be a big Hannah Storm fan. Yes.
Kelly. You know, my one comment is on that is when all these SportsCenter anchors started talking a lot more betting, Hannah Storm sure felt to me like she knew a lot more about what she was talking about than some of the others.
Are you suggesting that Anna Storm once sent a MoneyGram to Facundo Blanco?
I think there's a possibility. That's all I'm saying.
So I remember when I was at that Western Union, I was like, is that Hannah Storm next to me? One more thing on this. Joe Fortenbaugh was not the only person this week who you tweeted, didn't respond to you. The second I responded, they were like, oh, I'm coming on. Warren Sharp joining us on Friday.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta have the big guns reach out. That's how it works in this business.
Can't wait for that. By the way, JVT mentioned this about, was it JVT who mentioned it? About fourth downs? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you did this, you did the digging on this, and we did come up with, right? So this is the problem again with these massive menus. It's very hard to find anything. And so fourth down props that you were looking at here, and I just think these are interesting to go over just again out of the sake of thoroughness here in 2 weeks, which is, all right, we had fourth down conversions, and they're broken down. This is at DraftKings. Chiefs total fourth down conversions, Eagles total fourth down conversions, then total overall fourth down conversions. All right, Chiefs over a half, meaning they just got to get one, juiced at minus 180. The Eagles is set at 1.5, so not a half, but 1.5. The under slightly juiced at minus 130. The total is at 2.5, where the under is juiced at minus 150. Do any of those three, like if I said to you, okay, you must bet one of those three,
mm-hmm.
Chiefs total, Eagles total, or total total, which bet would you make in which?
Okay, I'm not, I have an answer for this, and it's not because of the plus money, but of course that helps. It would just be the total fourth down conversions.
Over 2.5 at plus 120?
Yeah.
I think I would, go under, but I'd lay the juice.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So we both gravitated to the same prop at the opposite side. Okay.
Yeah. I think I would. But again, I'm not betting it. I'm just saying if you made me bet, that's what I would do. But I'm not betting it. I don't think there's an edge either way. I think those are relatively correctly priced.
So the thing that's fascinating about that is I'm also wondering if we're thinking about it the same way too. We're like, I kind of expect a relatively close game. So it's okay, that I think you could read into that both ways, right? If it's close game, do you feel the need to force a fourth down? You might not need to feel it as much.
You might not need to.
I guess
to.
The way I'm thinking of if it's late and tight, we're gonna try to go to, you know, make a big conversion or something like that.
Yeah, the you know, we brought this up. Rufus was the guest. Rufus Peabody was the guest on the Megapod yesterday, and we brought up the fourth down stuff in different ways with him. And he's starting to make all of his bets really in volume today. But every time we brought up these fourth down scenarios, like, oh, if the Eagles get a fourth and short, you could tush push, right? And that's likely to convert. Remember, these are conversions. These aren't just attempts. And then, the willingness of teams to go for it more on fourth and, you know, five, let's say, or whatever. And he kept coming back with, yeah, but you guys are talking about a Commanders game. Mm-hmm. Like, have we been so mesmerized by the way that the Lions and Commodores play football that now we're applying it, like our brains kind of jumped to everyone's doing it?
Okay, it's a great point to bring up because, yes, you need to stop yourself. You need to have that in your mind because
yes.
It is. The two teams don't get much more drastically different than the Chiefs and Commanders when you talk about it from that standpoint. So
I appreciated the point, though, right?
What I'm like. The point is very significant. I just think you're going to see two aggressive offenses in this game. That's why I lean the overs on these.
Also ask them about your 2-point conversion attempt prop because you took the yes, 2-point conversion attempt, yes, plus 110. He did not see a particular sort of math edge in either of the 2-point conversion ones, at least in the attempt one, he did not. So
Okay. Take
that for what it's worth. Of course, part of Super Bowl tradition here in recent memory is also that the same week of the Super Bowl, golf goes to Phoenix for the Waste Management Open, which is the one golf tournament of the year where you can get R-O-W-D-I-E. That's the way they spell rowdy, rowdy. You know what I mean, Kelly? For those of us who might have heard those cheers as children watching high school football games. You have some thoughts. You have some bets on Waste Management Open.
Yeah, let's go country clubbing.
Oh, yeah.
Long shots out now. And, Gil, I got a lot of long shots this week. Your odds board. One Scotty Scheffler looking pretty good at Pebble Beach last week. A little problems around the green, but I think that's what we were all most concerned about when you're coming back from a cut in the hand, the touch and feel you need to have for around the green. He's plus 275. He's the favorite. Justin Thomas 14-1. Decky 16-1. Then you drop down to 25-1 for the rest.
Is that what we're calling him now? Decky?
People have called him that for a while. But one of those three. Look, man, they're the deserved favorites. I'm going to look to get involved, hopefully with Scheffler, one of those two live. But obviously, that's going to be a plan. You've got to be okay entering during a tournament, though, knowing that that possibility might not present itself. Scottie Scheffler, the odds were ridiculous throughout all of Pebble Beach. I kept checking about checking in, jump in live, and they were silly for a long time. So that's how I'm attacking it. So I have a lot of I just have long shots in this tournament. Outrights that I did play, I only played two. Nick Taylor at 70-1. Gary Woodland, going back to my guy Gary Woodland, at 115-1. Nick Taylor, look, he rates out like mid-20s, 30s for me as far as my modeling goes. But this season, Gil, T33 at Pebble, T12 at the Amex. He won at the Sony already. And then the last 2 years of this tournament, he's finished first and second. Nick Taylor thrives at the Waste Management Phoenix Open. So I'm not reading too much more into it besides that. Went outright on him 70-1. Gary Woodland playing some great golf again, absolutely bombing it off the tee, second in this field in driving distance. Look, going to need him to be accurate and putt well. It's all the putter's always the question. But T22 at Pebble, T16 at the Sony in his two starts. Not bad putting stats to start the year, and he's won this tournament before. Definitely looking at course history this week. So played an outright on Gary Woodland, also played him in the top 20 market. Going to drop down to top 10 real quick. Luke Clanton and Minwoo Lee. I'm just playing upside on these guys. Minwoo, a couple T17s finishes to start his season. I would think really high upside on both these guys this year. So I'm going to play them in the top 10 market, not outright. Should be good course fits for both of them as well. And then top 20 bets on Tom Hoagie and Charlie Hoffman as well to add on to Gary Woodland. So playing a lot of longer shots this week. So hoping to get a couple of those home.
Charlie Hoffman, who was sponsored by Waste Management for years and years and years.
Still is, I believe.
That's right. If you had a sexier sponsorship than Waste Management, I don't know which one it would be. Have you ever been, by the way?
No, I have not. I have not.
You do like Matt Brown did that one year. He's like, I'm going. You guys can broadcast. I'll broadcast from there. Coming back with Jason next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
While sportsbooks stack the odds against you, it's time to check out ProfitX, the first peer-to-peer sports betting exchange in the United States, available, get this, in 40-plus states. That includes Texas and Cali and Florida. With ProfitX, you're betting against other fans, not the house, meaning better odds and bigger payouts on average. Exchanges typically offer 10 to 20% better odds than traditional sports books. For example, right now the money line on Kansas City is minus 108 and Philly is plus 107. That's tough to beat. You can even request your own odds and set the price you want. And right now, new users have a shot at winning a Rolex on Super Bowl Sunday. Simply make your first ever purchase of $100 or more this week, and you'll automatically be entered to win a Rolex. Don't wait. Download ProfitX today. Use code VSIN to get started.
Let's go. ProfitX. Win a Rolex.
Hi, I'm Kelly Bidlin. Earlier, you may have heard me talking about another company. Now I'd like to be the spokesperson for ProfitX.
Would your wrist look better with a Rolex on it next week? Check out ProfitX and everything they're offering for the Super Bowl.
I'm Radio's Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beanie the Book. I always appreciate the feedback from everybody. Truly. I truly do. This is Chris of St. Bart's. You ever been to St. Bart's before?
I actually have.
I have too. Yeah. I have too. St. Bartholomew.
One of these days you will find Captain Ron Kelly just somewhere in a Caribbean island with a bar, running a bar.
What'd you call yourself? Captain what?
Yeah, you ever see that terrible movie in the 90s, Captain Ron?
No.
Was it Kurt Russell in it?
Yeah. Chris of St. Bart's. So we're about a week away from the tried and true method in Pythagorean and Pythagoras showing up, huh? No, because I will be out, but when I get back, we will be on the way to exactly that. When he's talking about the tried and true college basketball formula that has called the champion of college hoops pretty much every year of the last 35 to 40 years, or winnowed it down to a group with the exception of the 2014 UConn Huskies. That was the only exception. And Pythagoras talking about our favorite baseball season win total of the year, which we kind of nail easy peasy every year. So we'll get to that. Yes, thank you, Chris, for the question. 3Jack, H3131. Gil, I had no idea you were an importer. Oh, I said importer. I meant inputting. Are you an exporter, too? Reminder to stay away from grass season. Thank you for that. Yes. This is also from B. Morian, and he says, if you're making Kelly make a bet, having lived in both Russia and Florida, I'm thinking gun to his head wouldn't do much. It would have to be trimmer to the beard, you have to make a bet. That's right. Teddy Rack, great to hear. Joe Fortenball. On ANG. Yeah, always great to have Joe on there. Ryan Thompson, the country club and video. Are those old people at a young people's club or young people at an old people's club? ANG Nation needs to know.
Okay, this is great. I love the full breakdown of the Open. I believe it is old people at a younger people's club. That's why the younger people are in the background. That's why I've made the comment. Can you imagine being the extra in the B-roll? Like, it's B-roll already. The guy's not even around to talk.
Boom, 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 boom. Jason H11, if you remember R-O-W-D-I-E from your high school basketball days, then you should be country clubbing. That's some expert level producing right there from Kelly. And then Gary Trask talking about the Beating the Book 14th Annual Vegas Lifestyle Podcast Edition. Said, annual must listen for both Vegas newbies and veterans. Totally agree with Meltz in Vegas about Durango Resort. And Gil is spot on regarding the Cromwell Sportsbook as a hidden gem. We talk about sportsbooks and restaurants and beyond. Always appreciate the feedback. Ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us from under a cloud of smoke, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter, at Spreadopedia. It is the self-proclaimed winningest guest in numbers game history. He stands by it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Jason Weingarten. Jason Weingarten, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. How's it going?
Doing very well.
Full time.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
It's almost Super Bowl time.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it is. Breaking news once again. Almost Super Bowl time. 4 days away, Jason. You're going to be in town for it? You're going to be here?
That's the plan. I'm going to be at Circa.
And you're going to be on the show with us when? For Sunday?
Yeah.
Sunday.
On the show. You in person.
All right, Jason. Don't oversleep, please. We'd love to have you here.
Yeah, bye.
You're going to take it in at Circa, Super Bowl 59.
Can't wait. Yeah, I'll be right there at the sportsbook.
Okay. How many, most of the audience knows you as a baseball guy, and then you bet all kinds of sports, obviously. How many bets do you think you will have on this Super Bowl?
I think by Sunday, I'll have between 20, 25 bets total. I'm trying to keep it, relatively reasonable this year. Also, I just don't have it in me this year to run around and bet props at a million different books and spend the whole week playing the prop game. So my prop betting will be a little bit more limited this year. I'll have money on the game itself, on the side of the total. I'm sure I'll find some MVP bets, find a couple other fun things to bet, and call it a day.
Okay. Do you have any props in pocket already?
I have a couple. I started looking, I start looking at a lot of the long shot stuff just to see if there's anything that interests me, and I'll keep doing that as the week goes on. But one guy I'm interested in is DeAndre Hopkins. His over under for catches is like 1.5 with plus money to the over. I think that's a little low. I know he hasn't been featured much in the playoffs, but he's still a big game wide receiver, and you never know. A lot of the time I look at some of the Super Bowl stuff historically, and you never know when a veteran receiver is going to have a good final game. Even going back to Super Bowl I, Max McGee, the first MVP of the Super Bowl, was a backup wide receiver who got called into action that day, and I think he caught 3 touchdown passes. Again, not saying that Hopkins is going to catch 3 touchdown passes, but I do look at some of that stuff. I look at the 2+ touchdown market. I want to see if I can get a big number on Hopkins, 65-1, 75-1 would get my attention there. But I'm kind of just playing around, looking at unconventional angles at the moment, seeing what I can come up with before I get to Vegas.
This is why I love Jason. This is why I love Jason, because this is an angle I had not thought of, and this is one that has not come up. This resonates with me because we were just talking about, or I've been several times, when we talk about the history of props, we always go back to Art Manteris at Caesars doing the William the Refrigerator Perry prop for Super Bowl 20. Would he score? Bettors betted down from 40-1 down to about 5-1-ish. And William the Refrigerator Perry did, in fact, score. But I always mention that Mike Ditka said, whether he believed it or not, but he felt the need to proclaim it, he says one of the biggest regrets of his head coaching career was that he didn't give the ball to Sweetness, right? He didn't give Walter Payton that career cherry on top achievement of having scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl. Instead, they gave that, potential play to William the Refrigerator Perry, a rookie out of Clemson. So that's an interesting thing. What you're talking about is, would Andy Reid and his sense of D-Hop's career in any way, because D-Hop, obviously, who was a great player on some really bad teams, would he then care enough to sort of try, because everyone says, oh, the Chiefs will just, you know, they'll take what they get, what's given to them defensively. Yeah, we get that. But will he take some time to sort of pre-flop a play design-wise for a guy like D-Hop with that kind of sense of history? I wonder.
And even on top of that, when you look at a game like the Super Bowl and you think, okay, well, how am I going to win the Super Bowl? And you have 2 weeks to prepare. The answer is I'm going to take away the opposing team's best players and make them beat me with other guys. So I'm always looking for who those other guys might be. If you're going to win, you're going to need some of your other players to step up. You know, obviously the ball's going to Travis Kelce. Obviously the ball's going to Kareem Hunt. Obviously the ball's going to Pacheco, whatever. But you get farther and farther down the list and you're saying, well, can this guy have a big game? Can this guy do something? You know, I mean, this is very likely DeAndre Hopkins' last game in the NFL. He's still got something left in the tank. It just, you know, is this going to be the day that he rises up to the occasion? I don't know. But I'm always looking at that, and I'm always looking for MVP stuff because I always want to hit that defensive player MVP. It's just sort of a matter of fact that where we're at right now, the players, you know, the best players are going to always be the quarterbacks. The quarterbacks are always going to most likely be the MVP. But one of these days, a defensive player is going to win. I couldn't tell you who yet. I haven't found a good number on anybody that's really made me run out there and get it. But, you know, I'm definitely going to have to shop around. I really think, you know, especially if the Eagles do win this game, it's likely going to be because somebody stopped Patrick Mahomes, and I want to find out who that's most likely going to be and bet on them.
I was throwing this right. You're a Chiefs guy, right? You're backing the Chiefs in this game?
Yeah, I got a little bit on the Chiefs so far.
All right, so you're not one that would take a shot at Saquon getting over 200 yards. You wouldn't. I mean, how do you see that game script going in our last 30 seconds here? Do you feel like, because a lot of people take the position, well, because Todd Wishnev said this on the Megapod, a running game seems like the thing you could game plan defensively the easiest to stop. But yet every team has tried with Saquon and they've failed. So I'm not sure. Do you see that? Is that how the game script goes for you, that they shut down, at least relatively speaking, Saquon?
I think if you have 2 weeks to prepare for this game, you have to prepare a defense that focuses on shutting down Saquon Barkley. That's not necessarily my reason for betting Barkley's under, but I think that line's going to keep picking up. And Sunday, you're going to get a very good price fading some of the most public props, like I said before, Barkley and Kelce.
Yeah.
Wait till Sunday. Those are absolutely going to be plays.
Yeah, if your instincts are under on all kinds of things, wait. They will go up between now and game time. Thank you, Jason. We'll see you on Sunday.
See you Sunday. Can't wait.
My man, Jason Weingarten. Matt Brown in studio next. The band is back together.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In sports betting and trading, probability is a key to success. Discover the power of high probability trading with Todd Bubba Horwitz, a former floor trader and sports bettor with over 45 years of experience. Visit BubbaTrading.com/VSiN and get a free ebook on options trading. That's free. Ebook on options trading. Use code VSiN500 to save $500 on any purchase. Skill Alexander. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Nash, last name Nash. Good call on Hannah Storm. She definitely seems like a beard for Chris Felica back in the day. Jamie Leva, or Jaime Leva. Can we get a breakdown on the Transylvania Open by Kelly in a Count Von Count voice?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Have a fantastic day, gentlemen. Thank you very much. Michael Knight was looking for the sack prop that Fortenbaugh mentioned. Which book? Great question. The McDuffie sack prop. We got to figure out where that is.
Oh, yeah. I did. Yeah, he said 30-50-1. I did look up Jason's Hopkins bets over at FanDuel, over 1.5 receptions, plus 126, 2+ touchdowns at 100-1.
Just a couple more here. Kevin Ryan, Gil Kelly's love for Gary Woodland, week in and week out, may exceed yours for Joe Jackson Gibbs. I know, he's really into Woodland.
Fair.
And then Rick Ollier. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Did Kelly Blade Bidlin just insult Captain Ron? I'll have you know that he saved a family from Cuba. How dare you?
a great, terrible movie of the 90s.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm extremely uncomfortable because Kelly is sitting awfully close to me. And the reason for this is usually when we have a guest here on set, Kelly saunters, because that's what he does. He saunters back behind the glass, but not today because it's Matt Brown and it's a primetime action reunion. Matt Brown, the current host, co-host with Mike Somich, that is, of Ready, Set, Bet here on the weekends at VSiN. Matt Brown joins us here in studio. What's happening, buddy?
How you guys doing? You had fallen Joe Fortenbaugh, guy that we all go way back with.
Big time.
Joe Fortenbaugh used to be on the desk with me and one Dave Farah doing a fantasy sports show.
Oh, I remember back in the day.
Yeah, I know. It's we are full circle. It's smaller.
You've both come so far.
Yeah. some further than others. You guys didn't even know I still worked here until I walked in the studio just a second ago.
Yes, we did. Okay. Well, I don't know if you know this, Matt, but there's a game on Sunday.
Yes.
Super Bowl 59. And I actually don't know the answer to this. What side are you on here?
So I might have one of the very few 2.5s in the entire world.
Where did you get a 2.5?
So I sent this to Kelly.
Yeah, I didn't believe me
as either. Proof, because I'm like, everyone's going to listen to this and they're going to go, this guy's lying. Rogue here. Boyd went rogue here in Vegas. So Boyd usually just uses FanDuel lines.
Right.
You know? So I'm sitting there and I'm kind of like just, I'm on Sunday when all the lines are populating, right? Yeah. Like, because I'm here with Samich.
Ready, set, bet. Check it out.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, I'm sure. There you go. We'll be here during the game. Because so if you don't want to watch the game, you can come watch us. So we're sitting there, you know, scrolling through. I'm like, what is Boyd doing? Boyd went rogue and put up their own number for like 10, 12 minutes.
And the Chiefs were favored by 2.5 points for 12.
So I have Eagles plus 2.5.
Wow.
Okay, so I didn't actually ask you this question because I just assumed FanDuel had a 2.5.
No.
So FanDuel never had that.
Boyd.
Wow.
Posted their own number for about 10, 12 minutes.
How much did they allow you to put on that?
So that there is also that, because as anyone who has bet Boyd here, they actually have hours on their sportsbook.
They do. Yes.
Sending to the trading team.
So when you plug in the first number, it goes sending to the trading desk. And then it was like, nah, we're not going to do that and whatever. And so it whittled down. I was able to do it twice to get, moderate. Yeah. I mean, not what you would normally bet on a game, because it was after hours and the trading team apparently.
Have either of you two run into the same problem I have, where I try to guess, where like it's always chopped in half? Whenever you try to bet, they're like, we'll take half of it. So I'm like, let me bet double.
Oh, no, it's worse than that. Like MGM, I've had the experience where let's say I want to put a dime on it on anything, a tennis match or whatever. It varies. Sometimes I literally have to put 7 different bets in to get to the dime, but it lets me get to the dime. Mm. And it doesn't necessarily move the number either. So it's all just algorithmic nonsense.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. None of it does.
And I'm wondering if this was like the rare time where there actually was someone back there looking, because it seems like they put up their own number for whatever. I don't know what was going on, but yeah, it was gone. So I actually have a 2.5 in the account. Let's just pretend that it was still 1.5. I would still be playing the Eagles. I have a pretty strong opinion on the Eagles in this game. I think that there is a pretty good advantage in this game for the Eagles run offense versus the Chiefs run defense. If you look and you go in and you look over the second half of the season, EPA per play allowed from the rush side of things, rush success rate allowed, this Chiefs team's in the bottom half of the league when it comes to that. Now in comes the best offensive line in the NFL with the best running back in the NFL, the guy who has. So here's the thing. You get Saquon Barkley, and then you also get an offensive line that has him number one in the league in yards before contact, right? So you have this guy who's awesome anyway, and he's not getting touched before any other running back in the NFL, right? It's like the perfect combination.
He also seems to do this thing. I don't know if you've noticed this about him. They actually pointed it out during the Skins game also, where he has gotten this timing down to a science with the Eagles offensive line, where he almost... It's like not quite the Le'Veon Bell. Remember Le'Veon Bell got to the point where he would
just kind of dance around.
He'd be like,
he would just do a little jig real quick.
Let me sit back here for 4 seconds before I... It's not quite that, but like Saquon, as soon he does that like hop step to the side and then bounces. I've never quite seen it that... Like, he seems to know exactly when to do it in a way that's not common.
It's not like Le'Veon Bell, because it's like he's waiting for... It's like, which offensive lineman's going to get the biggest push, and I'm going to go through that hole.
Right.
That's what it almost feels
that's
like.
That's right. He knows where he's supposed to go, but he understands when to cut off that, as great as anybody I've ever seen.
Man, not to derail the conversation, but anyone that has not been arrested Has anyone derailed their career more than Le'Veon Bell did? I mean, like that. I mean, in the height of his powers,
in the non-arrest category,
like without getting arrested, like without going to jail or committing a crime, did anyone do more harm to in the height of his powers? Like, yeah, I'm just not going to play.
I'm gonna not play for a
I'm
year.
I'm just gonna not play.
See how this works.
Keep
out.
Keep that money. I don't need it.
Bold decision, guy.
Yeah, it was just, but yeah, Gil, you're exactly right. I mean, just it's crazy because one of the things you hear these scouts, again, we always talk about not a scout, not a talent evaluator, but like it was that Saquon's vision was just above average. It wasn't like that he had great vision or whatever it was. Well, I mean, maybe it was the Giants offensive line. Maybe it was just the scheme there, whatever it was. But it does seem like something has changed since he's gotten to Philadelphia.
I mean this completely respectfully because I'm on the Chiefs side, but I also fully admit, like I keep asking the question, yes, but if one team blows out the others, it more likely to be the Chiefs blowing out the Eagles or vice versa. I concede it would probably be the Eagles blowing out the Eagles, blowing out in quotes, yeah. Right? But here's my question to you and to those who have the Eagles. How much is the thought in your head that as you're talking about this and everything you're saying makes complete sense, but then there's this terrible possibility for you guys that Patrick Mahomes just puts on his cape, right? And it's a three-peat, and who knows, maybe they even win their 18th consecutive one-score game. What percentage of your brain is filled with the potential self-loathing of that?
Oh, for sure. Honestly, I kind of paint the picture on both sides. I try to, in every game. And I kind of look at this, and as opposed to Patrick Mahomes putting on the cape, I kind of just see it as Jalen Hurts shrinking in the moment more than Patrick Mahomes putting on the cape.
That's interesting because he didn't in the last Super Bowl.
I look at the way that he played. Granted, this last game, he played fantastic. Games leading into that, not so much. And if they get a ton of pressure on him, and if this offensive line gets tricked, and they're a very, very good offensive line, but we know Spags has been able to make the greatest of offensive lines and the greatest of offensive coordinators look silly. If they're able to get home a ton and Jalen Hurts doesn't have time to kind of operate that offense, I've painted the picture of how the Chiefs win this game and maybe even win this game by double digits.
It's interesting, though, you say about Jalen Hurts, because he did – had the Eagles won that game against the Chiefs two Super Bowls ago, he probably is the MVP. Mm. So that's interesting that you would think that somehow the script for the Eagles not playing well falls on him.
Yeah, he was better this past – again, he's better this past game, but he has had the propensity to hold the ball a little bit too long. He has had the propensity to maybe not really just make decisive decisions when throwing and all of those things, and I can't get that out of my brain when we're talking about the conversation is – what if that happens again? What if this defense that is put in front of him, what if these exotic blitzes, what if these crazy looks just fool him, just trick him, and they can't get anything going. And then if they're trying to be one dimensional with Saquon Barkley, that's not going to work.
What about the simple handicap of those who say, yeah, it just comes down to, I'd rather have Reed, Mahomes and Butker, if I throw in the kickers, versus Sirianni, Hurts and Jake Elliott, who Will Hill has done a great job of pointing this out. We're not talking maybe enough about Jake Elliott. This is a close game. Jake Elliott missed an extra point. We talked about this on the Megapod yesterday. Missed an extra point against the Packers. Missed two, I want to say, in the next playoff game against the Rams. And then missed a field goal. It was a long field goal against the Commanders. What about that just simple? The triumvirate. Yeah. I'd rather have this three than these three.
Part of what it goes to our conversion props conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Certainly the top two. The kicker thing's interesting to me because I think Butker, since he's come back from injury, has not looked the same. And I think Andy Reid's actually been a little reluctant to run him out there from longer distance, and all that. But yes, certainly the top two. I mean, that is kind of like the simple handicap, and it makes perfect sense, right? No one's going to argue with you if you just go, hey, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes. Okay, good enough. Good enough for me.
Sorry to make you feel uncomfortable in the middle. You can ask questions too. Apologize. Kelly.
Yes.
Kelly
Thank
Billen,
you for being
everybody.
Able to work it in.
Matt's got props. We'll get to those next. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Billen, Matt Brown. Just a few tweets here. We get tweets of beating the book. Wet Willie Cohen. Is there not enough room for Matt Brown's movie theater screens on that desk? Very weird only seeing him with one singular laptop.
It was a choice.
Yeah. He's got plenty of room. He's got like half the desk over here.
It was choice.
It's got half to death. Yeah.
There we go. There.
I just gave, look at that. Savannah is so mad at you right now for moving. Oh, my God.
Look at that leg room.
Oh, Todd Bubba Horowitz tweeting in. He said, first sack at MGM. Bet MGM 50-1 on McDuffie. Thank you, Todd. They don't have any time sack for him. So they do have first sack for McDuffie, answering the Joe Fortenbaugh question that we got earlier. Bet MGM 50-1 McDuffie first sack, but they don't have an any time sack.
I was shocked that to have the first sack number was not way longer than that.
Yeah, I would think it would be longer. Jason H11, at least get Kelly a taller chair. He looks like the kid that graduated to the adult table at Thanksgiving for the first time.
Well, Gil and I did just figure out, thank you, Matt Brown, for informing us that these chairs actually go up and down. We never knew.
Yeah. Never knew. No wonder Samich's posture was so good. Real quick, our G-Bank best bets of the day before we get back to Matt here. G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN, every show recapping all their bets, hosts, and guests. Every single show on the network. Mine, once again, Chiefs, -1.5. By the way, Matt Brown did show me a screenshot of the Chiefs -2.5 on Sunday night. It is a real thing. Once again, on the Kendrick Lamar first song, I'm just going to say this. I have a short shot, not like us. I have a long shot at swimming pools. But let me just say this. The first thing I said about this is, if there were ever an artist that might do some funky thing beforehand, before getting to a first song, a la Coldplay did back in the day, Kendrick might be that person. But those are my two bets. National Anthem, we're 4 seconds of CLV, baby. It's at 121 now.
Nice.
We got to under 125. And by the way, the under 121 is juiced. Actually, it's under 120.5 last I looked. So it's 4.5 seconds now. I'd still go under. And then I added Kareem Hunt, Chiefs first touchdown scorer at +425. And Kareem Hunt, the first overall touchdown scorer at 9-1. Calais by the lawn.
Yeah, nothing for me tonight. So everything Super Bowl. AFC, where's my AFC hat? It's the same price. I feel like I've asked Matt about this prop in years past, too, and he was like, don't bet that.
He was equally enthusiastic.
He was one of those guys. I was like, don't bet that.
As I was.
AFC to win Super Bowl, -115. Let's go, Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes to win Super Bowl MVP. I am in on that, at +125. Xavier Worthy, over 5.5 rushing yards. Kareem Hunt, over 42.5 rushing yards. Isaiah Pacheco, longest rush, under 8.5. Both teams to score 1+ touchdown in each half. Yes. Will there be a 2-point conversion attempt? Yes. +110.
All right. Also picks on the show today from JVT, Jonathan Ontobel from New Orleans. He's on the Eagles once again on the money line, Super Bowl 59. Xavier Worthy, over 5.5 rushing yards. Eagles to convert a fourth down, no. At +550, he's going contrarian on that one. Likes the number at +550. And then Kareem Hunt, anytime touchdown. Oh, he was on Kareem Hunt as well, but in a different way, at +140. Also, Jim Root, James Patrick Root from College Hoops. Mizzou in Tennessee, under 134.5. He is grabbing 17 points on Tulsa tonight against Memphis, and he's laying 1.5 with Nebraska against UW. Anything else did we have today? After Jim Root?
Joe Fortenbaugh.
Yeah, Joe Fortenbaugh. Yeah. Of course. Who am I talking about here? Joe Fortenbaugh. A.J. Brown, over 70.5 receiving yards. Joe's a Eagles fan. Homer. A.J. Brown, anytime touchdown, +165. Homer. Trent McDuffie, the one we were just talking about, 30-1 to record a sack, 50-1 to record the first sack of this game coming from the secondary. G-Bank once again with Matt Brown. Oh, we got one Matt Brown in before we get to his props.
Yeah, little
Eagles.
Tease, little
Eagles +2.5. He got it in a 12-minute window. Eagles +2.5 versus the Chiefs. G-Bank, why the guy? Again, the official bank of VSiN. VSiN recommends every bettor make the G-Bank Visa Signature Card part of their betting toolbox. Save up to 3-5% on cash advance fees. Earn cashback rewards on eligible betting transactions. And now for a limited time, you'll get a $250 bonus when you open your account and spend $1,000 in the first 90 days. Apply now at VSiN.com/G-Bank. That's VSiN.com/G-Bank. Take advantage of the $250 bonus for a limited time from our friends at G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions apply. Matt Brown from Ready, Set, Bet, along with Mike Samich here on the weekends. He will be broadcasting live during Super Bowl 59 on Sunday. Always a thrill to have our old primetime action co-host back with us. Matt Brown M2 on Twitter, is that correct?
Still.
Yeah. You don't sound so excited about that.
We battle with these with a common name. At least you guys, you know, fine. There's not very many Gills. There's not very many Bidlins, but yeah. Or certainly not Kellys with the EYs. You know, you're good to go.
What's the Matt Brown? If you do remember,
I mean, million of us. You know,
my Twitter handle was taken forever, and I believe you discovered on Primetime Action one night. Yes. It was available,
yeah. And you nailed it.
Yeah,
nailed
good
it
for you.
Wasn't there a UFC fighter named Matt Brown?
There is also a UFC fighter.
You got some of his tweets sometimes?
I used to get his text messages sent to, yeah, because we were in the same industry. So we were with the same people. So, like, there would be people who would text me thinking that I got one not even very long ago from another fighter who was asking him, like, dude, are you really coming? Are you really considering, like, XX, all stuff like that? And I was like, I'm just not going to answer this one. Like, this is there. Let's not have any fun.
It's always entertaining when Brian Ortega and Matt Brown fight.
Oh, yeah. There's that. Real quick before we get into this, I know you've been, I heard you've been asking people about food and stuff down in New Orleans and whatnot.
Oh, you're the expert.
Oh, you know something about Louisiana?
No, but what I will say is if you're going down there with like your family and kids and stuff, like maybe do the whole Cafe Du Monde thing.
Very touristy.
It is a piece of fried dough just buried in powdered sugar. I mean, it's not it's not a groundbreaking, like it's not like one of these desserts that you have and you go, oh, this is like why I came to New Orleans, right? I mean, like they invented Bananas Foster at Commander's Palace in New Orleans, right? Like it was literally invented there, you know, like you could go there and have it at the place where the dessert was invented and it's awesome. But like beignets, like, all right, cool.
Pecan or pecan?
Ooh. Pecan.
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 Pecan. That's how I go.
You go pecan. Oh.
Yeah. Pecan pie.
So you just mix all.
Good for you.
Pecan pie. All right, sir. Yeah. What are your favorite props? What do you bet here?
I have the worst of a number. I know it's typically unders late, overs early. I actually thought the Jalen Hurts passing prop was going to get bet down. I thought a lot of people would look at this and say, okay, in a lot of games where they have a ton of success, he's kind of in the high 100s as opposed to the 200s and stuff. So I have an under 214.5. With that, it's up to 215.5 at some books out there. So anyway, I typically do the whole unders late, overs early, but I thought this one was going to get hammered and it did not. So going the opposite direction, worst of it there. Kareem Hunt over 10.5 rush attempts is now up to 11.5 rush attempts. I've also played the alt at 14 plus at plus 202. I think Kareem Hunt is by easily the number one back there in Kansas City now. He has out-touched Isaiah Pacheco in the last four games for this team that matter. Obviously, Week 18 didn't matter, but like the two games leading into that and the two playoff games. So I expect Kareem Hunt to try to see if he can get something going and Andy Reid and them see if they can get something going against this light box that Vic Fangio and them run with the Eagles defense. I mean, that's his whole defense. He plays the super deep, too high shell thing, and that's the defense he's going to play. So I expect him to get something going there. So I took the over 43.5 rushing yards with Hunt as well. Kind of a correlated deal. Isaiah Pacheco under 9.5 longest rush. That's down to 8.5. I still think you could play it there. I don't think he gets more than 5 or 6 carries in this. He only had a 10-yard rush 4 times this season as it was anyway. So for me, I like that a decent amount. I like the Eagles. I got to like Saquon. So I didn't play just the typical number here. I kind of laddered the alts. And so over 130, 140, and 150, that comes in at kind of like plus 170, plus 240, and plus 340.
Wow.
So kind of going with that kind of game script, right, of Saquon Barkley being able to have success.
Didn't go over 200 for the record?
I didn't do that. Yeah, I think and that being said, if there's anyone that could do it, right? I mean, this guy can like pop off 60 yarders, it seems like, you know, left and right. Dallas Goedert over 46.5 receiving yards. I think it's up to like 48.5 receiving yards now, but this was like literally, by the way, the props came out because again, we were on
air. We talk about this all the time. It's incredible.
I was listening to you and Mike.
Two minutes after the game. I mean, like we were in, so there were actually numbers to be got. This is something for next year to remember for everybody out there. Like there were numbers to be had literally 2 minutes as soon as the game was populated.
And on
your
desktop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Shout out MGM on your actual computer. Yes.
Shout out to MGM. I also took a dart on just a fun. This is fun, guys. Fun. But I took a dart on Goddard for MVP. It's like 125-1.
You took a what? Oh, a dart.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a. I look at it from this standpoint. Is there one in 100 times if we play this game, is there a completely disgusting, gross game that finishes 17-13 where Dallas Goedert catches 7 balls like he did against this, you know, in a week, 2 weeks ago for 85 yards and a touchdown. Saquon only goes for 74 and, you know, whatever and all that. Is there a world that exists that maybe he could end up 125-1 Dallas Goedert, more of a fun one.
Last thing, sports talk radio question. If the Chiefs pull off the three-peat, regardless of everything the Patriots did under Belichick and Brady, is this would this be the single most impressive thing in pro football in our lifetime?
I think so, for sure, because we've changed how football is, right? Like, everybody's got more data, everyone's got more everyone knows how to analyze and all this stuff, and they're figuring out how to beat it on the fly.
I kind of think you're right. Mm-hmm. I do. Kelly, how do you enjoy being in the middle? You like it?
I'm having a great time.
You gone again?
I'm just happy to be here.
Matt Brown, everybody. Ready, set, bet as they all crash to the bottom. Stories next with Money Moves. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.